Police raided the Occupy Wall Street camp, cleared it out, and made arrests.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in just a moment. First to New York, where police moved in this morning on the Occupy Wall Street staging grounds in Lower Manhattan, trying to clear out the camp at Zuccotti Park in order for the privately owned area to be cleaned. At least 70 protesters were arrested, mainly people who tried to chain themselves to trees or light posts or even to other people. Chris Porter has traveled across the country as an Occupy protester, and he was in New York for the latest skirmish with police. Hey, Chris.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. You've been traveling for thousands of miles there with the Occupy protests. What's going on right now in New York?
What's going on right now is the cops are cleaning out and clearing out Zuccotti Park about an hour ago. They forcefully came in there and completely destroyed our camp, our kitchen, everything is completely wiped out.
What do you mean destroyed? What did they do?
They came in there with knives and rods and completely disassembled all of our tents, cut and shredded everything, threw it in major piles, regardless if it was fragile. Everything was completely by force, and they just went in there and destroyed everything.
So everything is taken out of Zuccotti Park. What does this do to you in the meantime? Do you regather, regroup, try and find another place?
Yes, we have a few GA meetings that are going on right now blocks away in multiple directions to find out what kind of direct action is going to be taken. There are people from Harlem, people from Brooklyn, and people from Queens that are storming on their way down here to Lower Manhattan to find out what our next step is going to be.
What does this mean, Chris, for the movement in the long term?
This means that, you're going to have to take a few licks if you want to stand up for what you believe in. They're not chasing me away right now.
Chris Porter from near Zuccotti Park in Lower Manhattan. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
And now to the global perspective on business and economics. Today, the European Commission will reveal a final plan to rein in the credit ratings agencies, at least in Europe. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The Commission feels the world is too dependent on just three big credit rating agencies. It aims to regulate them and promote competition. The Commission also wants to tackle the apparent conflict of interest with agencies being paid by the companies they're rating. But it's in the field of government debt that the Commission is making its most controversial proposal. It wants to be able to ban the rating agencies from downgrading European countries when financial markets are in turmoil. Daniel Gross is with the Centre for European Policy Studies in Brussels. He says such a ban would be pointless.
We know that in Europe, the creditworthiness of almost all governments is going down because they have large deficits, high debts, and scant growth prospects. No point in shooting the messenger who tells that to the wider investor community.
He says there have been similar calls in the US for a crackdown on the rating agencies, but they have so far been rejected as impractical. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are lower right now by an average of 1%. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost some ground to start the week. The Dow gave back 74 points to end the day at 12,078.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by Money Magazine's Take Charge Live, a series of events designed to help you take charge of your finances. November 16th at Boston College. Registration at moneytakecharge.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2012 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Defense Secretary Leon Panetta and other top military officials will appear in front of a Senate panel today to answer questions about troop withdrawals from Iraq. And as troops leave there, American officials hope the free market will take hold. Lionel Johnson is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is hosting the leaders of the Iraq Stock Exchange today in Washington. Lionel Johnson, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. I know Iraq's economy has long been dominated by oil, as are most other countries in the Middle East. Is that changing?
It is changing. International investors, both American and other internationals, are taking a very close look at the transition to a market economy in the country and the importance of the non-oil and even the non-energy sector for the country's long-term stability.
What's the biggest change in the Iraqi economy since the fall of Saddam Hussein?
I think the biggest change is the degree to which there is an appreciation of the role of the private sector in providing the energy for long-term growth and development of the country. It's moving now from a traditional statist, centrally planned economy to one that is being more broadly participatory. And you're seeing more and more of an evolution from the central government to the provincial government in terms of decision-making on investment and development priorities.
While those companies are coming into Iraq, a lot of troops are leaving Iraq by the end of the year, correct? So, I mean, are you fearful that the violence will erupt in that country again?
It is definitely a situation that all of our companies continue to watch. But we recognize that the December 31st withdrawal of U.S. combat forces from Iraq represents a turning point in the bilateral relationship, one from a security-focused relationship to one that is more traditionally diplomatic, economically, and commercially focused. It is a market that is conducive to long-term private investment, and that American companies more and more are coming to realize this and are coming into the economy.
Lionel Johnson, Vice President of Middle East Affairs at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And finally, some residents of New York City, whose homes are a stone's throw away from Times Square, are complaining about a new billboard that's gone up near their apartments. It's a 6,000-square-foot digital TV screen on the city's Port Authority building. And those flashes shine right into the living room of one woman who says the light keeps her awake and her cat's on edge. Well, she and her neighbors are trying to convince the authority to dim the lights at night or even shut the sign off after dark in Times Square. Good luck with that. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Online at marketplace.org, where the podcast is there. Plus, you can check the numbers anytime. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Droughts don't necessarily lead to this. Politics do.
No toilets, no clean water. The kids were half naked.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The real causes of famine, as our series Food for 9 Billion continues. That, the day's business news and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.